With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Friend of the show, I know a friend of Annie Fry just in town not that long ago. His name is Tyrus, and he joins us now.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Fox News contributor, NWA World Television champion. He has a book, Just Tyrus, a memoir. Welcome on to 97.1.
Hey, what's up, sir? How are you?
Good. I wanted to talk to you about the media, and I love Greg Gutfeld. I've loved him for a long time. And to see his success at night and the work that you guys do at night, it's just a fun show. And to see that people love watching it. The ratings have been great compared to some of the traditional ABC, CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, all of the different regular Jimmys that are on at night. This seems to have been very popular. I wanted to get your impressions of why you think a show on Fox News with Greg Gutfeld is not only competing but exceeding expectations, and why that's resonating with so many people.
Well, first, I think it's a team effort. I think the uniqueness of our cast, Greg, Kat, and myself, there's nothing quite like it. We all couldn't be more different. And when you're funny, you're funny. And when you're not, you're not. And being able to come out every night, in my case, in improv, and being able to hit people, and comedy's not dead. I think we've seen other shows who have kind of gone one way with it, and they've kind of forgotten about half the country, if not more. And whenever you go into one side, or you spend your, you're supposed to come up, watch a late night show and laugh, and you're getting opinions on your political belief system, I think that's a major disconnect. And what's crazy is that, you know, the ABCs, the NBCs, the CBSs, they already have 35 million more homes than we do, just because they're not cable. So to beat them is not just, it's monumental. It shouldn't happen, but it's happening. And, you know, and it's not just, you know, they make those comments about it's just one demographic. It's not, you know, we lead in the young demographic. My fan base is about as multicultural as you get across the board. So, you know, it's just, there's something about not being afraid to tell a joke, and if you do speak your mind, be open to, because we have different opinions on just about everything. So it's not a talking point show, and I think that's what's important.
Yeah, and I think that is important. I want to pick up on that point in a second, but I don't know if anyone else has ever said this before. I actually went as Greg Gutfeld for Halloween one year. Has anyone gone as you for Halloween that you know of?
Yeah. Matter of fact, when I was in the WWE, one of the number one selling Halloween costumes was Brodus Clay. And
that's great.
My son went as me last year, and I was pretty humbled by it. But it happens a lot. You know, although I think you're probably the trendsetter with Gutfeld, and I'm sure when I tell him that, he's going to be really excited.
Right. This went 2015, roughly. So this was a while back. Oh, was that a fun time? And I had another person I worked with that went as Bob Beckel. So the two of us kind of like dressed in tandem that way. So this was some time ago. So I wanted to ask you about your thoughts about, you know, you talked about the network TV and the way that I think a lot of ways the writers and the comedians on there kind of talk down to a certain ideology, and they don't really treat it as, you know, comedic equality, as in, hey, there's certain things we can joke about, but what we're really going to do is just really focus on one of those sides and kind of use it as a way to kidney punch an opposition that we don't like. It seems that's the motive a lot of times on some of these other network shows, but it's so much better when you kind of have it coming from all around, different opinions and jokes, and you're really not afraid to be, you know, yourself and to have those certain opinions. And I think a lot of ways, people always looked at the internet as their opportunity to do that. And just recently, I think a lot of people have realized that they don't have the same freedoms on the internet that they thought. If they go to YouTube and discuss something that may be controversial, or in some cases have a take that is against what the mainstream is, then they could be punished or demonetized or even, you know, kicked off the platform. And I wanted to ask you about Russell Brand. He's a actor. He was in some Hollywood movies, and more recently, he's been doing a lot of commentaries on YouTube. And just recently, he said, I'm going to be done with YouTube. I'm moving over to Rumble, and that's getting a lot of people talking. I wanted to play a clip from that announcement and get your reaction to it, if I could.
I don't want the right to say mean things about people. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in wars between different traditional or progressive factions. I support and love all of you. If you love Donald Trump, I love you. If you love Joe Biden, I love you. I want us to create new systems together. I don't believe these institutionalized systems at the level of the financial, governmental, or media world are ever going to serve ordinary people. I believe we're at a point of crisis and things need to radically change fast. And I believe we'll be able to communicate our message more freely on Rumble. And this misinformation strike and takedown demonstrates exactly what it is we're talking about.
All right. So I'll stop it there. What's wrong with that approach? You think there's anything wrong with looking at it and saying that we need to be more open, we shouldn't be more restricting?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's yelling a lot, so I always kind of get turned off when people start yelling. But I get it. Point. But I mean, it's, you're going to have the same problems with Rumble and everything else. There's always going to be somebody watching, somebody doesn't like something. But, you know, the more platforms, the merrier. But like I said, I'm not a big fan of YouTube and Twitter and all those kind of things. And so I don't use them much, very sparingly. I only have two social media accounts, and I have them linked together, because if I had to post on them both independently, it would never happen. So, you know, but again, Rumble is supposed to be the alternative, and we're seeing a lot more alternatives, and I think that's a good thing. So if one, you can't speak one place, you can go speak somewhere else, and I think that's what America is about. So
Tyrus is joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk. You made a you gave a reaction, you gave a commentary a couple of nights ago regarding fentanyl that resonated with a lot of different people, and I think your point was, a lot of people don't understand fentanyl is a poison. If we were to rename it anthrax, people would understand better. And you've been receiving a lot of positive feedback for that. And we are still having so many different issues with drugs, fentanyl coming into the country. But in general, I've heard instances where people are like, well, I can't afford my medication, so I'm going to go online and see if I can get it from Canada. And they're getting this off-brand stuff that's laced with this fentanyl poison, and they don't even realize it. It's become such a major issue. And I just wanted to say, your commentary on it the other day seemed to resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's been a big response. I mean, kudos to Kat for having the balls to talk about something like that, because, you know, a lot of people won't. So, and the drug problem in this country is always, it's a tough thing. I just don't look at, even though fentanyl has its uses in hospital settings, but this is not that fentanyl. This is made in factories, much like the same as meth, with much more dire consequences. So treating it like a poison would hopefully have a different result. But again, until I can say whatever I want to say and call it Anthrax or call it whatever, and it's nice that people are talking about it. But until people actually start doing something about it, until a senator or a congressman or somebody draws up a law to do something about it, you know, it's like a moot point, you know. You just need that's the thing about platforms sometimes is, like, you can speak things and they resonate, but if no one does anything with it, then it's a nice talking point. So hopefully, like, I've been fortunate to where I have not been affected directly by, you know, the fentanyl situations, but, you know, it's across the board. You can't, the insurance is so high, your deductibles are so high, you know, just, and when you can't afford medications and you're trying to get better and you don't have a lot of positive alternatives besides taking medications, you're going to do what you have to do to feel better. And that in itself is a problem. Our pharmacies and our pharmaceutical companies and stuff, they have no problem jacking the prices of stuff. And when I think about it, I mean, the perfect example is insulin. Insulin was invented and sold to the government for $1. That's what he sold it for, $1, because the message was it's there to help diabetics and to help people. And now, and I have a type 1 diabetic in my household, I'm fortunate enough to where I have a good enough career that I can afford the insulin. And especially when you've gone over your allotment, and all of a sudden it's, you know, $700 or $1,400, or if you need more of this or that, or if something happens, or if it goes bad, the prices are unbelievable and parents have to stock and conserve and be afraid if they run out. So that falls on the pharmaceutical company and it falls on our government. Now, he did mention that your insulin and stuff was going to be cheaper, but what they don't tell you is that it's a loophole and it won't happen until 2026.
Yeah.
So by that time, it could be exempt. It will never see the light of day. But I guarantee you the monies were being sent out to the committees to research on it and the individuals to profit on it. But again, the American people, once again, we fall for a talking point with no substance behind it.
Yeah. And it seemed like there was a lot of momentum before COVID. They were talking heavily about fighting the opioid addiction and the problems with it. And a lot of times these opioids laced with fentanyl. And then we were also talking about insulin, that those sort of costs towards the end of President Trump's time in office seemed like there was still momentum towards it. But it seems like all of that was gone off the table as of late. We're so worried about inflation. If we could even afford a gallon of milk in the future, is everything we own disappearing? Those are the type of things that we are now talking about. But man, these other things are still very much on the table, I think, need to be brought to the forefront again. And I'm glad that you're doing that. Which, by the way, if people wanted to look you up online, where can they go?
My fans only page is down, so they'd have to go to
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. OnlyFans. Sorry. I'm old. You can check me out at Planet Tyrus on Twitter and Tyrus Smash on Instagram. But blue checks only. There is no other me. Only two blue checks. No blue checks.
I don't care how many people dress up as you for Halloween. There's only one you. Tyrus, thank you so much for coming on to 97.1.
I appreciate you.
Definitely check out his book, Just Tyrus, a Memoir. It's very good. And I keep seeing all the different gigs and traveling around, like he was here in St. Louis. Maybe someone's listening to this out of the St. Louis market. He may be coming close to where you are. Definitely check him out if you get that opportunity. Joining us after the break, Brad Young is a partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young. A couple of legal questions I wanted to ask about artificial intelligence. So tomorrow, I believe Elon Musk is going to show off where they are with artificial intelligence, which could include robots. Legally speaking, I thought, is this going to put our laws upside down when there's a bunch of robots and artificial intelligence computers taking things over? Are we even prepared for a moment like that? So he's going to discuss that and a few other things coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
He is one of the first friends I made in St. Louis because he was so available to talk legal issues, and there's so many great legal issues out there to discuss. Now a partner at Harris Dowell Fisher and Young, Brad Young joins us. Hello, Brad.
Ryan, great to talk to you, my friend.
I say now a lawyer because when I first started having you on the air some years ago, producer Mike Anderson said that, no, Brad's actually a janitor there, and he pretends to be a lawyer. And you worked your way up now as partner. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. Hey, I need some more Windex over here. Yeah, I still do a little bit of janitorial work, but not very much.
Who doesn't? So I wanted to talk to you about a few different things that are out there. Artificial intelligence, it makes me wonder in the future if we're going to have to rewrite certain laws to adapt to how often we rely on it. And I wanted to give you a few examples. One example is something that I've been experimenting with a lot. It's these artificial intelligent programs that generate images on a text. So you type in what you want the computer to make, and it'll make an image based on what you describe to it. It's purely fascinating. But in order to do that, it generates, there's like a billion different pictures it sorts through, and kind of like, it mm-hmm. basically is so many different iterations of things that already existed. And it tells you that you own this work afterwards. But there's a big copyright question in the future saying, do you really own that work? Or what if it accidentally rips someone else off and you don't know it, and then you're claiming it as yours? That's going to cause some issues. So in general, I was thinking there's going to be, I'm sure, a lot of instances where artificial intelligence and the way we catch up to technology will get us in trouble. Do you think we're going to have to rewrite laws to adapt to the way the technology is changing with that?
Well, I'm not sure we're going to have to rewrite laws, but there will have to be amendments made, just like we're having to deal with technology in other areas. First of all, the law is always behind legal trends because technology changes quickly and the law does not. I'll give you a quick example. There was a great Supreme Court case from 2014 from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's called Riley versus California, and it dealt with the warrantless searches and seizure of digital content on cell phones, because the rule had always been for decades and decades that if you're arrested, say you're pulled over and arrested in your car, the cops can search everything in the car. And that was always the case. But now searching a cell phone is different than searching your glove box. So police were also searching cell phones in addition to searching the glove box. And the court had to come, and they actually ruled in that case unanimously. How often do we see unanimous decisions today? But it was a unanimous decision saying you can't search a cell phone unless you have a warrant. And that's not something you can do when you pull somebody over. So there will always be modifications to our legal procedures, Ryan, as technology changes. And that's going to be true with copyright law as it is with anything else.
Got it. So let's look at tomorrow's announcement. I've been reading about Elon Musk, and it's going to be a big presentation about where they sit with artificial intelligence. Some people even rumored they could be bringing the robots out to show how far along they are with something like this.
I'm imagining, sorry to cut you off here, but I'm imagining like with a scene in Iron Man, you know, where Tony Stark is up there and there's fireworks going off and the robots come flying down from the sky and they land in a dramatic fashion and girls in bikinis. Is it going to be like that?
Fireworks, everything. Lots of cameras. That might be the only thing that'll be there is lots of cameras. That's the only similarities. But with that, it made me wonder, too, about where we could be going with robots. And I wanted to go back to a 1980s documentary called RoboCop, where the idea
Wait,
is...
that's not a documentary. That's a great movie. It's not a documentary.
You know, it might be a documentary. I mean, it's a future documentary. But the whole idea is crime's out of control. We're going to privatize things. We have a company that can go around and, you know, keep things in line. We'll use our artificial intelligence, and this robot could determine if someone's breaking the law or not. We could stop them before, because, you know, we can't get the police there, but these will make things safer. And I thought, wow, what if these robots and things in the future were much like RoboCop? I don't even know if that's legal the way it is right now. Could, legally speaking, could artificial intelligence find a crime and then could that be used as admissible in court? I mean, could technically artificial intelligence in a computer be the thing that takes you down?
Well, first of all, in RoboCop, great movie. And as I recall, that took place in your hometown of Detroit.
Detroit.
is where that movie took place. But
kind of like modern day St. Louis in some ways, but
yeah, a little bit. And Peter Weller is great in that movie. I love RoboCop. But it does raise a few legal issues. I mean, for example, there were a lot of situations in that movie where RoboCop would determine that someone's guilty and just take them out. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly that's more like Judge Dredd if we're gonna use comic book comparisons, because you can't be both the judge, jury, and the executioner. So the cop would have to, even if it's a RoboCop, it could arrest people for committing crimes, but it couldn't, you know, carry out their sentences on the spot. The other issue, though, that I think is fascinating about RoboCop is twofold. First of all, the privatization of police services. That's really what that movie stands for, and it shows the potential excesses of that. But also with regard to surveillance, and this is something that's really going on right now in California, where there's a bill in California to stop AI surveillance, where police could just take a camera and surveil, like, for example, a Rolling Stones concert or The Who, and all the people are out there, and it could just pan a camera over the crowd, and using biometrics, it could pop up and show every person that has an outstanding warrant, every person that has an outstanding parking ticket, and it would reveal all of that by just doing a biometric scan of a rock concert crowd. And there's a bill in California to stop that, and that's something that in RoboCop, as the cop was looking at individuals, they could identify those people who were criminals and then take action. And there's going to be a pushback on that type of technology because we see that right now in China, and people don't like it. And it's too Big Brother, it's too Orwellian, and I just see that there's going to be a pushback legally on that type of technology.
Yeah, I want to say it was the New York Mets team that was going to implement this, or I can't remember. One of the teams in New York were going to do something very similar with anyone that goes into an event. You're going to be scanned and background checked as you go in, and they call it for safety. It's so fascinating because there's been a couple of different arguments that you think California would be on board with. And you mentioned carrying out the sentencing on the spot as like a RoboCop would. I've seen those instances and those arguments made by some people on the pretty far left, I would say. And this is where I think it would fit into California. They say computers don't have a bias. Thus, computers would be better for being the judge, jury, and executioner, because that way you take the human element out. There's no bias whatsoever. So you should trust a computer when it comes to sentencing and disguising this. So, I mean, I think about that and some people advocating for computers to just take care of everything and how that will perfectly make the world, you know, a better place. But I'm glad there's pushback on those things.
And there would be pushback. And you want to talk about overhauling our legal system. I mean, right now, the bedrock of our criminal justice system is a jury and a judge, where the judge makes the legal decisions and a jury decides the guilt. In that type of situation, if you wanted to turn that over to AI, from that perspective, you would have to have an overhaul of our legal system, because the entire Constitution would have to be, I'm not going to say thrown out, but would have to be enormously modified in order to take people out of the system. And I just don't see that ever happening.
Right. I wanted to give you an example of something I saw in a cartoon this morning. I love anytime there's a legal courtroom, anything on TV, because I message you and say, how real is this? Brad Young joining us from Aristotle Fisher and Young. I was watching the cartoon Bob's Burgers, an old episode, and they were doing a mock trial at the school. We're talking about middle schoolers or whatever, and they were trying to, you know, kind of show you what goes on during a court case. So you had different students playing different parts. You had someone that was a prosecutor, someone that was the defense attorney. You had the defendant, you know. So you had all these different people here. And what they were doing was essentially re-going through the case of Snow White. So you had Snow White as on the prosecution saying that she was wrongfully poisoned, and on defense was the evil witch. So they were going through this mock trial, and someone was trying to defend the evil witch. And as the kid stood up and said, I demand a mistrial. Number one, her name is Evil. There's no way the jury would ever find someone named Evil not guilty. So I demand a mistrial. So I wanted to talk about how realistic that would be in real life. Could you get a mistrial just based on that?
No, if that's the person's name. Now, what the lawyers would do, though, see, if you want to put this in a real life situation, you would change the evil witch's first name to, you know, gloriously good witch. All right. You would change their name before you go into court. So then every time you would refer to her, you would say, and Ms. Gloriously Goodwitch, how do you respond? You know, so that's what you would, that's the way the lawyer would play it, is just change the name.
And then you would petition for the judge to make sure no one refers to your defendant as evil, because that
right, would, because then that would be objectionable based upon tainting the jury. Yes, that would actually work.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so it'd be a tough sell to try to be the lawyer defending the evil witch in a situation like that. One other question about student loan forgiveness, and this is a real life scenario, of course. So not that long ago, the Biden administration announcing that under certain circumstances, they're going to be forgiving a certain amount of student loan debt. And that is very controversial. It's a lot of money. Not everyone's on board with it, not even people in his own party. And then there have been other consequential lawsuits to come out. And there seems to be one very popular one trying to stop the student loan forgiveness from making and rising in the ranks. I was hoping you can talk about that case and if you think that it could actually be successful in stopping this from happening.
Well, there are, you want to talk about a law school exam. This is a law school exam because there are so many issues to cover, and I'm going to try to keep it limited here. But the first and foremost issue that we have with the whole student loan forgiveness situation is whether or not there's even a statutory basis for doing this. There's something called the HEROES Act that was passed right in the midst of COVID, and it does allow Congress did empower the executive branch to forgive student loans, but it did so with some conditions. The condition is we have to be in a pandemic, and that word is actually used, a pandemic or a national emergency. Well, we just heard President Biden last week on a 60 Minutes interview, on that train wreck of an interview, he actually said the pandemic's over. He said the pandemic is over, and those are the words of the president. So I don't know how we can forgive a $400 billion worth of student loans that is predicated upon we being in a pandemic when the president himself has said that the pandemic is over. So that's one issue. The other issue involves whether or not it can even be done because the wording of the statute says it has to be necessary to mitigate the economic harms of the pandemic. And I'm quoting from the HEROES Act. Well, right now, again, one can argue with 10 million open jobs in America, with unemployment at its lowest rate ever, is that necessary to mitigate the economic harms of the pandemic? And one can make the argument that no, it is not. But the other thing I do want to mention, and I'm not trying to spend too long on this topic, but the other thing that I find fascinating from a legal standpoint is standing. Do you know what standing means?
Sure. I mean, it's what I do every morning when I get out of bed.
Yeah, exactly. That's one part of it. But legally speaking, standing is a legal requirement that says you have to have a horse in the race. You have to have been harmed by something. So, for example, if you wanted to file a lawsuit stating that Brad is bald and that's hurting us, you'd have to show that you were somehow harmed by my baldness. And you probably couldn't show that. Now, my wife probably could, but you could not. So you have to have a dog in the hunt. And it's hard to make the argument here, and that's what I've been talking about, is that how do you show that who's been harmed by the president just waving his magic wand and forgiving $400 billion worth of student loans? Well, it turns out that there is a plaintiff now, because under many states, including Indiana, if you have your loans forgiven, that's a taxable event. So if you have $10,000 in student loans and you're forgiven of those loans and you're at a 30% tax bracket, then that would cost you $3,000 in taxes to have your $2,000 and some change of taxes, because your student loans have been erased. And so now you've been harmed by what the president has done, and so now you have standing to sue. So this will be challenged. This will go to the Supreme Court, and we'll get to see how the Supreme Court eventually deals with it.
Wow, I find that very fascinating. And a lot of people aren't happy with it, so a lot of people will be watching this one. Brad Young, partner at Harris Dahl Fisher and Young. I'm going to go rewatch RoboCop just to make sure I didn't miss anything in that documentary to figure out what's happening in the future as AI works its magic. And maybe I will have to find more standings other than getting out of bed in the morning, because that seems to be where all the money is if you have standing.
That's where the money is. And when you watch RoboCop, the other fascinating legal issue is, can companies get a patent on a cyborg human genetic hybrid? Human cybernetic hybrid, can that be patented? And that movie deals with that issue, which, again, is a fascinating issue.
Oh, wow. That could technically be one of the most relevant points, considering that they do want to get that chip, that computer chip in people's brains. I think the promise is that it'll help you be, 10% smarter or something, or help more clear or whatever. You remember more things. It's essentially an aid to your brain. I wonder if they could claim that since the chip generated all of this extra whatever, memories, knowledge,
exactly,
that they would own some of that somehow. Like what's the output of that production?
Ooh. Yeah, if you get a chip in your brain and you come up with a way to cure cancer, does the chip-making company now own the rights to the cure of cancer? Exactly.
Because without the chip, that probably wouldn't have came to it. Wow, that's a great question. Oh, man. And that's what these technology companies will do. Brad Young, thank you so much for joining us here on 97.1.
My pleasure, Ryan, as always.
Oh, man, we're going to have to do that topic an entire segment sometime in the future. That is such a good thought. He's with Harris Dahl Fisher and Young. You hear him frequently on this radio station, not only contributing, but also doing shows. And he's fantastic every time he does a show. When we come back, let's really talk about fighting crime in St. Louis with Elon Musk's robots. So seriously, let's talk about that after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Go, girl. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Producer Brad, did you purposely wait to play that liner so you can hit the post to Michael Jackson? You went to hee-hee. You got the liner to the hee-hee.
Listen, I got a craft here, and I take it seriously.
It's right magical. Before we went live, he goes, watch him hit the hee-hee. And he did it.
He did it. I mean, that's impressive. Way to go, man. That's how you know you're a true pro. Way to go.
Can I be honest here?
Ryan Ricker, filling in.
No, you can't.
I just had no idea that I hit the hee-hee until you said something.
Don't be honest. You can't be honest here. You hit the hee-hee.
It was so
man.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, take the compliment when you get it.
Well, thank you.
We were talking artificial intelligence just before the break with Brad Young, and you wrote a whole book about robots and stuff,
that's right.
Ryan Wiggins. You must have wanted to jump in on that interview.
I love the topic of AI as far as sci-fi goes, and I guess maybe as it intersects with real life now, we're getting kind of to that point where we got to start asking those questions about sentience and, you know, what does it mean for a robot to, or really it's less about robots. That's what my book's about, robots, but it's less about robots and more about apps at this point is how much can an app know? Because they've created now software that learns not just as you use it, but it learns about everything all the time. And it's getting to the point where, well, at what point do you call this stuff sentient? You know,
mm-hmm. With Elon Musk, he has been working on this chip that you implant into your brain that makes you more productive. And there's a lot of questions to it, ethical questions, because, you know, I think today they leaked some pictures of the monkeys they've been testing it on. So you get the, you know, not great seeing that sort of thing. And then on the other side of things, you look at where that could bring us as a society. Let's say you have the opportunity to increase your brain function automatically, where that could bring you, what that could do for you financially, meaning now you're brighter, you know how to better invest your money, spend your time, do all these different things. You're more productive in life. Ultimately speaking, the longevity of you as a person may even add years to your life. You know, what about all these different things that could regulate in your life? And Brad Young brings up the very important point that I think some of these different makers like Tesla, what if they argue that it's because of their chip, your production is rising. Thus, do they have any ownership of the things you do based on that? Wow, I can't wait to watch that movie or read that book because I think that's a great question.
I'm glad that you're concerned about that and not the myriad of other things about who owns the things you make, because there's a lot of other issues. What concerns me is just like all other technology, and you can fill in the blank with anything, smartphone, whatever. As soon as it becomes pervasive in society, then you have to use it. It's very, very difficult to not. And so with something like this, let's say it actually does come out tomorrow and you can get an implant in your brain and makes you 50% smarter. Well, the first person that does it is going to make the second person do it and on down the line to where you have to do it just to be competitive. That's what worries me.
Like the Borg in Star Trek.
Exactly.
Oh, Brad Young would love that Star Trek reference too. Let's put this argument out there. So in a lot of ways, people would look at that as the tool they use in order to be smarter or do more in their life, the expectancy of the outcome of their rest of their life, their income opportunities, things like that. In a lot of ways, they would say the chip is the tool I used and I paid for the tool. Thus, I own what happens to it. But I think a lot of these tech companies would look at it differently. They would say that the person is the tool and the chip is the one that did all the work. So I could see the big legal debate that goes on in the future. future about, you know, what if there is something that is a $1 trillion idea, like the answer to cancer, and then the tech company tries to take credit for that because they say, no, it was the chip that figured it out. It was the person that was the tool that they needed all along.
Anytime you start talking about technology or really anything that impacts the way that you can think or behave, that's where I start to get a little bit scared. Not that you can't find things that are beneficial, but it's just the leap is not too far to go, okay, now there's a chip in your brain. Now they can start to control the way you think, not just how you do it, but the way you do it. They can start to control a whole lot of other things. That stuff's not that crazy to think about.
You know, and I think about your argument here about, like, would the manufacturer of the chip have the right to the intellectual property that the person who is using the device to come up with it does? And it makes me kind of think, and, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect analogy, but whenever you think about athletics, so Mark McGwire hits 60, you know, number 62 in the home run race. Does the bat company of the bat that he used to hit that home run have a right to say, well, that's because it's our bat, and therefore we actually got the home run? Or does, you know what I'm saying?
Only if it's used in a murder, and then they'll
blame the bat company. But my thing is this, is like, it just becomes another piece of equipment. I mean, like, in my brain, it's just another piece of equipment, another tool used by the individual that actually came up with it. And the tools help enhance what you can do. It's a lot easier to hammer a nail with an actual hammer than it is to use your hand. It's not impossible, but it's painful and painstaking to do it. So, you know, it's still I think you would have to look at it from the sense that you shouldn't be able to claim anything because, yeah, it was your chip that enhanced them, but it was their brain that came up with it.
Yep. I want to make sure I put this public plea out on behalf of the city of St. Louis and the region, who has struggled with crime for many years, who have struggled with homicides, who have struggled with staffing and policing. Mr. Elon Musk, if you are listening and you are planning on debuting some of these artificial intelligent robots tomorrow and you need a city to test RoboCops to see if they're effective, come to St. Louis. We can use your help. How would you like it if there are RoboCops out there trying to enforce laws in St. Louis? If they promise to cut down on murders and all these other crimes.
As long as they're based on a real man like RoboCop was and not just a full-on machine like RoboCop's enemy. Yep.
No, we'll get real people in those suits, sure. They'll just take over when they're inside.
What about this? What about if a baseball player picked up a bat and that bat led to a global pandemic? Do you see my line of reasoning there? Okay, don't worry about that one. I'm going to leave that one alone. How about this? How about if you could put something, since we're on the topic, we got like 1 minute left, so I'm just going to sneak this in. If you could put something in your brain that releases dopamine that made you feel good. I mean, this is kind of stuff that you actually
could
be working toward this. And they could release it only when the right political messages were on the TV. Huh? Right?
No, you're going full on conspiracy theory.
Right? Is this not crazy? I mean, why not? It's 1:54 and we got 1 minute left in the break. I'm just going to do it. There you go.
I 100% think that that type of manipulation is in use right now. And you're right when you're talking about apps and the way that they manipulate the way we think and behave. There is really no way to say that they don't already do very similar things, as in, if you are behaving in a way they want you to behave, then they will reward you, and they're going to tie that into certain political parties or whatever advertiser or political campaign is paying them to do that sort of thing, to try to reinforce that good feeling. Yeah, absolutely. That's what they do.
They already do it with signage and advertisements.
If they want you to feel like democracy is under attack, the president stands at a podium with a red background and makes you understand how serious the threat is.
I was thinking like the colors that make you hungry, and McDonald's uses those colors.
Oh, fine.
Well, no, sure. But, you know, think about Fitbits and these different watches that try to, you know, let you know when you're not getting enough steps in. They're trying to manipulate you into action. Or let's say that you're slouching. There's these apps that will try to help you better your posture, and they put these little sensors on you to do that. Your smartwatches, they'll do very similar things too. Monitor your heart rate. They'll let you know when things are going up. But they do that in a way to try to say, well, you need to react to this, and to react to it, it's for your own good. it's not just the biometrics that they're monitoring. I'm sure that these tech companies are using very similar tactics in order to have a more favorable opinion towards certain political candidates because they already have those biases towards the political candidates. I don't think that's conspiratorial. I think that is the type of psychology they use on a high level.
Slam dunk. Snuck it in, and we did it.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for the confirmation.
Let's talk more about some of this technology and patterns. Amazon unveils a new bedside sleeping technology to track you while your eyes are closed. That scares me big time. Why do we have to hand over everything over to Amazon? Every bit of information is ridiculous. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.